Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
I promise I'm going to be preaching a short message tonight. I say that often, by the way. But we do want to honor two special guests sitting in the first row as well. Magdi and Bernard from the UK, and they've been helping us as a church both on the Hungarian side and on the Slovak side with the Ukrainian relief, and we want to just honor you guys and thank you for how you have rallied around this cause, just helping the churches. They represent an organization called East West Ministries, and I love how God is bringing those two together in our time. So welcome to Budapest. Yeah, dear friends, we are in the middle of our series called Our House, God's House. And last Sunday, I was preaching on being a volunteer in the house, just challenging us to put our talents, our ministry, our gifts, our anointing into the hands of Jesus. And you know, we said that God is only looking for ordinary people. He's not looking for somebody special, just an ordinary person who is making himself available to him. And I trust that as we do that, as we make ourselves available to Jesus, that we actually experience the miraculous. Tonight, what I felt on my heart to share about is we want to commission all of you. We want to ordain all of you to be His ministers, His volunteers, His servants. I believe God is calling us as a church to rise to a new level. I believe that God is calling us as a church to go to another level. We've shared a bit of our story last Sunday. And we believe that where we are at as a church, that God is actually opening a door for this place to actually go to another level as a church. And I'm going to read a scripture from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. So if you feel free to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. This is the scripture that was preached when Jesus was commissioned. You know, Jesus came on the greatest mission. He left the heavens and came to the earth on a special mission. And this is the scripture. This is something special that was said, that was spoken, that was preached when He was ordained, when He was commissioned. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. And then I said, 'Behold, I have come.'" Can we say this together? "Behold, I have come." Let's do that again. "Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." You know, I was asking myself the question, what is the secret of His power? When Jesus came on His mission, where was the secret to His power? You know, he only served in a very limited time and in an incredibly limited space. His ministry season only lasted for about 3 years. And He never really traveled outside of the small area then known as Palestine. Other than when He was a little baby, He traveled to Egypt as a refugee. We have our Egyptian brother here. Hallelujah. How come that in such a short time and just in a very small area, the power of God was manifested through his life in such a powerful way? He wasted no time. He missed no opportunity. He was always in the center of his Father's will and always under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. Jesus was always in the center of the Father's will, and he was always under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You would hear him say that all the time. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And he was always dependent on the Holy Spirit. So let me just explain this scripture in three very simple points. Here's point number one. God is not after your sacrifice. Let me repeat that. God is not after your sacrifice. He doesn't need us. He loves to use us, but he doesn't need us. God doesn't get nervous if we are not ready to serve him. He does not really need us. The Bible says, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. You know, Jesus actually came to replace the sacrifices. For centuries, there were sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. Those were going from the tabernacle and from the temple for centuries. It was a sophisticated system of sacrifices which avoided the heart. Oftentimes, you know, there was no faith, there was no heart. Oftentimes, just a religious system that was operating. You know, for me, this comes as a shocking surprise. God doesn't need me. Sometimes we feel so important, like the whole world would collapse if I wasn't doing my part. Hey, for some of you guys, this has got to be a big realization today. Like an eye-opener, God doesn't need me. Can you help me preach and tell your neighbor, friend, I got bad news. God doesn't need you. Thank you for helping me preach. It's a shocking revelation. The creator of the world doesn't need me. See, he's not really after my talent. He uses the low and the meek. He doesn't need me. In the book of Corinthians, we actually read that many in the church, they were not wise according to the flesh. Many were not mighty. Many were not noble. And God still called them, because God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And he has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. I love this. God chooses the small, the insignificant, the ordinary to just bring glory to his name. Wow, I love this. Hallelujah. See, when you look into the Old Testament, Moses was speechless. David had just stones. Joseph was imprisoned. Abraham was old. And Ruth was a pagan woman. And God was able to do something extraordinary with these people. So that's the first thing. God is not after your sacrifice. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire. Here's the second thing I want to say. God has prepared you for this. I'm going to say that again. God has prepared you for this. The commissioning message for Jesus reads, "A body you have prepared for me." You know, this is such a great revelation that when God sends us to a place, when God commissions us, he already had gone in front of us. And he already had prepared the place. See, a body you have prepared for me. This is what this verse we read is saying. Jesus' body, that was the means by which, the vehicle by which he will accomplish the mission. This is the vehicle that God made. And so Jesus is basically coming to a place and in a vehicle that God had already made possible for him. Now, I want to tell some of you that you never have to worry if you are qualified. We just had this conversation in the car coming to church today. You know, God is not really after my qualification. He is actually after my readiness, my availability, as I offer myself. That's what he wants. I have seen the qualified being disqualified, and I have seen the disqualified get qualified. I've seen those who are highly qualified, or at least they thought they were highly qualified, get disqualified in the process. And I have also seen those that the world said, you are disqualified, God raising them up and using them in a powerful way. Don't let anyone tell you you are disqualified. Let God be the judge. All you need to accomplish, God has already placed inside of you. A body you have prepared for me. He is all you need to finish the race. You know, for Jesus, the body, that was a miracle of incarnation. Of course, we believe in the divine conception, how Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, the miracle of supernatural conception and birth of Jesus. A body was prepared for him. But in a sense, as you spend time in the presence of God, as you commune with the Holy Spirit, he also prepares, he shapes a vehicle for you to complete your mission. God shapes you to become a vehicle to accomplish your mission. The impossible then becomes possible. And you know, that, friends, is a lifestyle of miracles. All the breakthroughs in our life, in our ministry, came just like that. A miracle after miracle, as we spend time in the presence of God, waiting on him, he would make the body. He would make the vehicle for the supernatural to happen. He would usher in the breakthroughs. And in the last 25 years, I could just testify and share story after story how God has done that. And even the story of this church in this last 1 year is a testimony to God's supernatural power and his grace and his miracle, a body you have prepared for me. All right, and finally, number three, let me just do a quick recap. God is not after your sacrifice. The second thing, he has prepared you for this. And number three, shoot for the center. Shoot for the center. Jesus says, I have come to do your will. I have come to do your will. You know, Jesus would always aim to be at the very center of the will of his Father. So many times we see him striving for the center. You know, one of the last occasions is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is in agony and in pain, and he is just wrestling in prayer with his Father. But then he says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. If possible, take this away from me, but not my will, your will be done. You know, when you look way back into his life at the age of 12, he was just a teenager, and he comes to the temple, and of course, parents, now just a little break from this message. This is the most comforting message in the Bible for me as a parent, because even Jesus's parents were not perfect. Hallelujah. How many parents are happy? They forget their 12-year-old teenager in a busy city with at least 100,000 tourists. They forget him there. Man, wow, this is so comforting. I feel so much relief when I read story in the Bible like this, you know. And then imagine, they only realize that they actually lost Jesus 3 days later. How come? The social services would be after them today. So, you know, there is 100,000 tourists in Jerusalem plus the usual inhabitants. And they leave Jerusalem. Festival is over. They go back to Nazareth. And 3 days later, they realize, oh, Mary, have you seen our boy? And she goes like, no, I thought you had the boy. Have you ever had that conversation? Parents, come on. I've had those conversations. It's only a miracle. It's only a grace of God that all our three sons are here tonight. Hallelujah. Love you, boys. But what I love is when they actually do come back and they find him. So 3 days later, they realize. Then they make their way back. I would imagine the way back was another day at least. And they meet him. They see him in the temple. And I wonder what he was thinking. He's like, I was waiting for this. And the parents say the usual. It's like, what have you done to us? What? They forgot him? What have you done to us? And he's like, well, to be honest, my parents, I have to do my father's will. I always have to be in my father's business. Shoot for the center. Another occasion was in John chapter 4. Jesus is ministering to the Samaritan woman. You know the story. The disciples go into the city to get food, do some shopping. They come back and they offer Jesus some sandwiches, something they have bought. And he's like, with a spark in his eyes, he says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And they are like, oh, somebody, you got some pizza delivery guy to come to you to the well. And has anyone brought him anything to eat? Listen to what Jesus answers. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I love this. He would always seek the very center, whether in the Gethsemane or at the well in Samaria or way back in the temple when he's 12. Friends, I want to say that, you know, it may not be safe to live a lifestyle like this, but it's definitely worth it. And my father-in-law said, hallelujah. Amen. It may not be safe. Sometimes it's dangerous. At times it's full of adrenaline, but it's worth it. You know, the Bible says that we actually get to dwell in the shadow of his wings. If you have intimacy with God, there is nothing more you need for your safety, for your security. It's an adventure. You know, life with Jesus is anything but boring. And I want to invite you tonight, us as a church, to actually live a life fully surrendered to him. And yeah, so as during these weeks, we are encouraging and challenging all of us to find your place of service, your ministry, serving God. And this is the lifestyle. This is what it takes. You know, I have been taken out of my comfort zone more times than I can count. God always threw me in deeper waters than I could swim in. He has always given me challenges that were bigger than I could take. That's his way of stretching. That's his way of stretching your faith, getting you out of the comfort zone. I will never forget, after we had been planting our first church in the city of Nové Zámky, Hercegovar, we had been there for maybe a dozen years, maybe 11, 12 years, and we planted a church there, and we were reaching that community in a very beautiful way. And then I did a mission trip to Serbia, preaching for a weekend in a small town in Serbia, doing evangelism. And on that weekend, one night, I could not sleep. That's a dangerous thing for me. When I can't sleep, usually God calls me to some place. And I could not sleep. I was up just thinking, and God was speaking to me that night. And I knew that God was calling me. He's like, you've been too comfortable for the last few years. put your church planter boots on once again. And he put a city on my heart, a city called Nitra, 100,000 people, no Pentecostal church in that city. And, you know, it was like a sudden realization that honeymoon is over, put your boots back on, be a planter once again. And so I came home and I told my precious wife, and she was like totally happy. No, she was not. She cried. She cried. She actually cried. She's like, yeah, come on. We're finally seeing some breakthroughs. And then we told our church team, and they were happy. They cried as well. And in another 18 months, we made a transition to the new city and started to plant again from zero. Friends, God has a way how to take you from your comfort zone. But it's the best lifestyle. I want to encourage you tonight to just offer yourself to Jesus and see Him work in your life. There is nothing better. And many of you have been on this journey already. I know your stories, Caleb and other heroes in the house. You have fully surrendered. And God is honoring that lifestyle of faith, that lifestyle of adventure. You know, you may not see the fruits or all of the fruits as you go, real time, or not even in your lifetime. But one day in glory, you will see it was well worth every sacrifice. And I want to honor all of you that are living this kind of lifestyle. And I want to challenge all of us to sign up. And you know, that is my creed. That is my heart's cry. Whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, I sign up. I made that decision when I was 20. And I'll finish with this. I was in the Bible college, and we had a missions week right after the fall of communism. This is 1991, before most of you were born. In the missions week, we actually had a group of evangelists that had just come back from what used to be the Soviet Union. They spent the whole summer giving out the Gospels, going from city to city. And I think they shared with about 500,000 people that summer, sharing the Gospel, giving out the Bibles. And there was such a hunger and such a thirst after God. And actually a revival broke out in that summer on that mission. And you know, as I was there, my heart started to pound, and I started to pray, Jesus, if this is what you want to do, then I want to be a part of that. And I think I was probably the first guy in the front at the altars that night. And I said, Jesus, I'm signing up. This is my yes. I will never go back. This is my yes. I'm signing up. And you know what? It's probably 30 years now. In the last 30 years, I never regretted that. You never have to ask me whether I say yes. I already said my yes back then. Now, it's only GPS navigation. I already said yes. Now, it's just the details. Whether it's Novozamki or Nitra or Budapest, it's just the details. I already said my yes. And friends, God wants to do the same for you. Shoot for the center of God's will. Shoot for the center. Focus on the directions. Make the main thing the main thing. I want to see you at the finish line. Happy. Fulfilled. Faithful. You know, that sentence, I live for that moment when we cross the finish line and the Father will put His hands on my head and will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the moment I live for. And now, I believe that we as a church right now, we are at the stage where we want to mobilize. We are not here to play games. We're not here to play church. Our mission statement is equipping people for life through faith in Jesus Christ. We are here for a mission. We want to see the Budapest, we want to see the city of Budapest reach with the gospel of Jesus. We want to see the nations in Budapest reach with the gospel of Jesus. Is there somebody excited in the house? It's like three people are excited in the house. Is there somebody excited in the house? I hope your excitement is bigger, but it's like well hidden inside. We are here to reach the world. And we are here actually to equip you to reach the world. And I want to challenge you today to say your yes. Or if you have already given your yes to Jesus, I want to challenge you today to recommit. And what I felt tonight is that we want to commission you to be the body of Christ spread out in the city, just touching the people. You know, God has already prepared a body for you. He has prepared the vehicle for you. He has given you the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He has given you the talents, the gifts, the charismas, the connections. He has given you the resources, everything you need, you have in Jesus. You have in the Holy Spirit. He has given it all to you. And tonight we want to activate you. We want to commission you. We want to ordain you to be the body of Christ in this city. And that through you, this city would be changed and transformed for the love of Jesus. You know, I've been asked this multiple times. You know, why does Budapest need another church? Why do we go through all of this? You know, why does Budapest need another church? You know, and I like to respond with the story of Titanic. The tragedy of Titanic was the fact that there were not enough lifeboats. And many people got lost. The reason we are here is to be another lifeboat in the city. God called us to be here as another lifeboat. It's not a game. It's not a show. We are here for a mission. And I really trust that God wants to break your heart for the things that break His heart. So I'm going to invite you to stand tonight. This is what the scripture says. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. God has prepared the vehicle for you. And then I said, behold, I have come to do your will. I have come to do your will. And even though, friends, God does not need you, He still wants to use you for His glory. There's nothing more beautiful in this life than entering a situation that God had ordained for you. You just come into a conversation, and then God just does something special. Now, every Tuesday we go out to Margit Sigurd, and we just talked to the young people there. And just this last Tuesday, it was one of those God moments. We sat down to talk to just one couple, and it was as we were sharing the love of Jesus, you could see how God is just opening their heart. And at the end, we got to pray with them. And I don't know what's going to happen with those people, but this is what we are called to do, sharing the love of Jesus with the generation in the city. Maybe your neighbors, maybe your classmates. You know, church, I like to liken it to a football game. This is halftime. Sunday is halftime. We all come together. The coach encourages you. He shouts at you. And then you go and play the game. And I want to encourage you, play the game. Do your best. Surrender fully. Let God use you in a special way. We're going to another level, church. There are so many people in the city that God loves. He told Jonah, should my heart not be broken for those 120,000 people that live in Nineveh? God's heart is broken for this city. How many are ready? How many are like, yes, I actually want to say my yes to Jesus tonight? How many of you would say, yeah, I want to be commissioned. I want to go. I want to serve. I want to be a volunteer. I want to sign up. I want to be used by God in a special way. Yeah, I'm just going to let you just ponder just for a second right now and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and touch your heart right now. And then I will challenge and will commission you in Jesus' name.